A very warm welcome to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yash Grang. Today we are asking a question: what is in for citizen in 2023 to 2024 national budget? On 20th June 2023, the National Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Dia Tong Chol, tabled a draft national bill for fiscal year 2023-2024 to the transition national legislature. Annually, the Ministry of Finance and Planning is expected to consolidate national budget from the expending agencies and bring it before the August hours for approval before any expenditures are carried out in the subsequent year. The projected resource envelope for financial year 2023-2024 amounts to 1.8 trillion, while the proposed spending stands at SSP 2.1 trillion. The deficit is about 2.3 billion, which is 4.6% of the gross national product. The revitalized transitional government of national unity aims at consolidating peace and stabilizing the economy. The process of consolidation needs finances and prioritization of peace activities. It remains unclear, though, as to what detailed priorities of the peace consolidation has the government prioritized in 2023-2024, a draft national budget. The preparation to end the extended transitional period are expected to start. The 2023-2024 national budget holds a lot of stakes to both the citizens and the government, besides facilitating successful end of the Artigno. And in the studio today, we are joined by two honorables who are the chair of respective specialized committee of finance. We have Honorable Chankwot Bishok, a chairperson of specialized committee of finance and economic planning at RTNLA. Honorable Chankwot, welcome to the studio.
Thank you and good morning.
We have also Honorable James Magog, the chairperson of the Specialized Committee of Finance and Economic Planning at the Council of State. Honorable Magog, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Then we have online Lona Merkeji from Nairobi. Lona Merkeji is from Sidemok. Lona, if you are hearing us from Nairobi, say hi to our listeners and your colleagues in the studio.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for having me today, Yash.
Yeah, welcome. We are discussing a question as to what is in for the citizens in 2023-2024 national budget. And I would want to ask Honorable Chankwot to give us in details as to what is in for the citizen in South Sudan. And maybe before we come to that question, Honorable, let me ask you, how does the government arrive to prioritizing activities that need to be to be budgeted for or need to be allocated some resources for implementation during the financial year? Briefly like that for the sake of our listeners. Honorable Chankwot.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Radio Miraya. I'm happy to be here with you so that we can update ourselves on what is happening.
Yeah.
Actually, as you know, budget is a government plan which is done yearly. So every year you will have a national budget for the whole country. And normally the country has to have a plan of how do the government want the country to look like in the next 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year and all this. And that's why we have something called National Development Strategy, which was revised. This National Development Strategy is the plan of the government that will detail what priorities that government want to do for the next period of time that the government has put things in place. And then with that National Development Strategy or the plan of the government for those years, then now they will prioritize and say, no, this year we'll do A, B, C, D. The next year we'll do this other plan. So that's why we have in this year budget, because now we are approaching, we are going for the end of the transition. Mm. And the country, as you can hear, His Excellency the President also talked about consolidating peace and stabilize the economy, because first of all we need to have a peace in the country, yeah, so that we can go and do our activities as they're supposed to be, and then also the issue of the economy of the country, so that at least the economy is stabilized. So these are the process where now when you come to the yearly budget, it has to align with the government plan, which are in national development strategy.
Honorable Chenkwot, how do they arrive at the priorities? Are they driven from president's speech? Driven, I understand, from a national development plan. But from its spending agencies, do they have to contribute? What is the system of your budget? Is it bottom-up approach or up-bottom approach?
Yeah, well, actually, the plan are driven from the people. You know, you have consultation all the way to the ground, where you will know that what is needed for our people for this particular year, and then all those things they will be summed up and put in a development strategy.
Yeah,
and it will also come out from the president's speech, because he has to address those needs of the country or of the citizen of his people that is leading them. So those are derived from there.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Magok, how involved are citizens in a budget preparation?
Thank you. The citizens have been involved during the budget process. When we are preparing for the second reading, citizens were involved, and we have a public hearing that we invite civil servant, and then they have asked some questions and all this. And then, so the citizens were fully involved in the budget process.
Thank you very much. Lona, from civil society, how involved are you in budget, initial budget preparation?
Well, thank you very much, Yash. That's a very important question. How involved are the citizens in the initial budget preparation process? I think as a nation, we need to do much. We still have a lot to do, because I would say that the citizens from our perspective are not sufficiently involved in the initial budget preparation processes. But then the question is, how can we enhance? I think the implementing agencies need to have more engagement with the public, with their beneficiaries, at the initial stage when they receive the budget letter, and even before that. And what I would like to bring to our attention is the question of how do we get the public involved. I know Honorable and the team did a very good thing to call for public hearing and citizen participation, but that's a bit too late. I think while we appreciate that, and that's a very important aspect of budget process, perhaps we need to look back at the role of planning and research department in different spending agencies that need to be enhanced. So in other words, I'm saying that at the initial stage, there is no sufficient involvement.
Thank you very much, Lona. Honorable Chenkwot, a number of MPs that I have talked to, because I was at the first sitting when the minister tabled the bill. The number of MPs that I have talked to, and a number of government officials as well, praise the 2023-2024 national budget, and they appreciated its content and the priorities that are set. So if I may ask, what makes it different? Because even the previous one, and I remember I hosted you here in the studio talking about the budget. So what makes it different from the previous, from last year, financial year, national budget, the one of this year and the one of last year? What is the difference? Because this one seemed to be accepted, seemed to be praised, seem to be to be satisfying. So what makes it satisfying than the previous one?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, one of the first thing is that, you know, this for the last 2 years, our budget are being tabled almost late. The 2021 budget, 2022, it was tabled almost late, few months to the end of the budget year. And then last year also, it was tabled almost a bit late. This year, it was tabled almost on time. I think we are just only late with 1 month. So this one thing that has happened. Secondly, the speeches of the president and the needs of the people, especially our people are eager toward, they need a real peace. And this is the top, the theme of this budget, where the peace is the first priority and to stabilize the economy. So these are the two main issues that are in this budget that make it a bit special. And all the people, since we have this relative peace, I think people are eager toward implementing this budget. Secondly, if you see the spending agencies, for some time, some of them has not been receiving enough operations for their activities. Which it happened in the last year budget, at least the Minister of Finance and their team, they are able trying to implement the budget norms, which means that the payment and all the operation of the government are being implemented accordingly. Though we have challenges, but at least it's better compared to the previous years. So that's why now this year people believe that, seeing from the last year budget, which is now ending, where we are having now the new year budget, taking into those accounts, so we believe that at least this year budget will also go more than where we were last year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Magog, you, as one of your mandates as Council of the State, is to work closely with the states. And in this budget, the states' allocations are factored in. I would want our listeners may want to know if you members of parliament are satisfied with the budget the way it was done this year, relatively better than the one of last year. So how are citizens looking at this one? If you have a chance to have talked to some citizens regarding the current budget.
Thank you. There are two main issues in this budget, which are very important, and that's why the citizens praise this year budget. One, as came in the speech of the president, that his government is going to consolidate peace and maintain security. And the peace actually is the concern of the citizens outside. So in this budget, the peace implementation have been given enough money, that is 50 billion, compared to what was provided last year, that was 12 billion. Number two is that the increment of wages and salaries to civil servant, army, and other organized forces, which the executive decided to increase by 400%, although that the legislature praised that increment, and also they felt that this increment is not enough, so that the legislature will add something that make it more than what is proposed in the draft budget. So therefore, that is what makes the citizens happy about this year budget.
Talking about peace, you have said peace activity. Do you mean the Ministry of Peace has been given 50 billion SSP, and 50 billion, if I can quickly convert it into dollar, is about 500,000. How sufficient is 500?
No.
Is 5 million?
50 billion. 50 billion.
It will be $50 million.
Yes.
$50 million.
Yes.
Okay. $50 million. Remember, initially when peace was signed, the government was required to put in 100,000 million. This time around is 50 million. Honorable Magog, is 50 million enough to take us to the end of transitional period and be able to implement the remaining activities before we end, especially considering the fact that we need to do constitutional constitution, we need to go for elections, we need civic educations have to be done, and all these things. This may require more money. Is this money enough to take us to the end of transitional period?
When it comes to the elections, I think election commission will prepare the program, and after that, they will present the program to the Minister of Finance, and therefore the Minister of Finance will do the supplementary budget that will be tabled before the National Legislature. So this is what we, the plan that we think is going to cater for other activities towards the election. But for fees, this money is enough, because it is not only fees that is going to be, you know, budget for, because we talk of salaries, we talk of other budget items that are factored in this budget. So given the limited resources that the country have, then we have to do what is minimum and what we think can achieve what we want to achieve.
So in a nutshell, you are saying that 50 million will be enough to take us to the end of transitional period?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Chenkwath, before I come to Lona, nationally, Honorable Magog has talked about national elections, political parties, national constitution review commissions to prepare their budgets and submit them to the Ministry of Finance. Then the Ministry of Finance in turn will allocate from a supplementary budget. Does South Sudan have enough money in supplementary budget, considering the fact that some government officials are debating as to why would the parliament increase that salary, yet we do not have a source of revenue? Can you harmonize these two?
Yeah, actually, regarding the issue of the salary increment, I think it was necessary, considering the way of life that we are in, the high skyrocketing of the prices and all these things that are happening in the market, not only in South Sudan, but worldwide, actually. Mm. And as was said by my colleague already, that the executive have increased by 400%. And we have seen that this 400% is not enough, because it will give a foot soldier, a private soldier, £10,000.
400%?
Yeah, 400%. It will give a private soldier £10,000. And it will give a grade 17 of civil servant 6,500.
That is not even enough to give you a meal in Primet or in Palm Africa.
Yeah, actually, especially for you big people, it cannot give you a meal there. Yeah, so the parliament has said, and because last year we said the issue of salaries is important and need to be looked at, because our citizen, our civil servant who are in the offices, they go early in the morning, clean the offices and do everything. And our soldier, our organized forces that are is guarding our country, okay, the sovereignty of the country, we have our organized forces that are working day and night. Mm. The parliament said no, the priority this time should be the increment of salaries of the civil servant. And we said the increment that was done by the executive is not enough. Okay? And I want to correct, because some people are saying the increment is the 400%. No, it's not 400%. We said 400% is not sufficient. Therefore, the parliament went extra mile. From 400%, they also went and increased with another 600%.
To make it 1,000%?
No, the calculation is totally different. From 400%, we take it as zero basis.
Okay.
And then now we take it from there. From 10,000 now, we raise it to 600%, which means that now instead of a foot soldier getting 10,000, in our proposal, they will get £60,000.
£60,000?
Yes. At least it's not enough, but it's better than, you know, than
Honorable Chenkwath, before you answer the other part of your question, a 50 kg bag of flour in the market is 68,000 SSP. The foot soldier is going to get 60,000, and this soldier lives here in Juba. He works in Bilfam, or he works in Gieda. Will he or she be able to feed the family in a month?
Yeah, well, actually, compared to what they're getting now, And compared to the 10,000 SSP, we think that this one will be better. It will not get him a bag of flour, but at least he can get half of it, and then he will be able to buy maybe half a gallon or whatever. At least it will push him for a while.
And this one, and their children will not go to school?
Well, actually, they are going now. You know, we are South Sudan. We try and we do a number of issues. That's why,
But normally,
this is what we think that can be done this time. Mm-hmm. But still, and we have been engaging the income generating institution to make sure that at least they double their effort to make sure that we get enough resources so that we can also go beyond this. But for time being, this is where now we stand, depending on the resources that we have as a country. And we did not go to the second question, we did not go beyond what the Minister of Finance think that they will get, especially the resource envelope.
So how is the parliament, where is the parliament getting revenues? And the executive and the legislative branch here seem to be at array. They are not together, because the executive is suggested 10,000, you are suggesting 60,000. The executive knows the source of the revenues. You are giving it because you feel that the soldiers or the civil servant must get to something substantial. So how are you harmonizing this situation?
Yeah, we are saying there are a number of options that can be done. Okay, and that's why if you have listened to our presentation during the second reading of the budget, we said we should even cut some of the activities. Okay, we should cut some of the activities, especially if you talk about roads. Okay, the road is being allocated 20,000 barrel a day. Okay, though we need road like nothing, but we say yes, maybe we can cut some from the road, the 20,000 barrel that are given to the road, we can cut some of it and then add it to the salaries, okay? Because if the soldier or our civil servant, if they have peace of the stomach, it means that now we have a total peace.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things we said we are cutting within the budget. Okay. Within the resource envelope that they have, we are identifying some areas where we say
adjusting this one is relocating.
Adjusting, relocating, and trying to get some money so that at least they are given added to the salary, and then we reduce some of those activities. So this is the priority for now, that the parliament is working on it. Okay, so we are not going beyond what the executive think that they are getting, but we say we must reduce some of those activities. Okay, and then in the next 6 months, then we see what is happening. In the meantime, maybe the institution that are generating income will get more income, because we are engaging them and we are really seriously doing that, so that at least now we have many resources that we have in the country, and also to even to diversify. So this is one of the thing that I want to answer on this. Regarding the other question, the peace, yes, the point is in place. You know, we have this institution, the public, the political parties, the council, you have the National Election Commission, and then the constitution making policies, and the rest. You know, these institutions are institutions that has to be built, because so that now they take us to the end of the constitution.
Right.
And if you look at the budget, as was said by my colleague already before, this institution, they are not yet allocated for, because they are not yet reconstituted. And that's why if you are hearing from the executive, there has been a lot of debate discussing that this institution should be reconstituted, so that when they are reconstituted now, then they will now come up with their plan, with their budget, and then now present to the cabinet that this is the budget we need for the constitution making process, for the political parties, and for ABCD, and for election. So now this department are to be reconstituted any time from now.
I want to remind you, bring you into your attention to budget that was table, and I have here on a record that the National Election Commission is allocated 281 million 814,000 and 86 SSP. National Constitutional Review Commission is allocated 287 million SSP. So is this money enough for them to carry out their resources? I mean, their activities?
Well, actually, this amount is not to carry out the other activities that we are talking about,
yes.
The election activities. Yeah. But this is for their daily running and salaries.
Okay, operation.
Okay, for their operation, these are operation and the salaries.
Okay, thank them. You very much.
But
thank
the other money now, they will, when the institution is reconstituted, now they will come up with their budget, and then with that budget now, then now will it will be tabled to the executive, and then from there it will be brought to the
parliament.
To the parliament.
So the South Sudan will still have money to fund finance.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
The means of finance and all the institutions that are generating income, they are really working very hard to make sure that at least resources are generated, because this is a very important activity that need to be done.
Thank you very much for that, this information. Lona, what is your view on the financing of salaries and peace activities with regard to what the two honorables have said?
Thank you very much, Yash. I think before we get there, I would like to take us back a bit.
Sure, go ahead.
With regard to the question of participation in budget process.
Hmm.
And I would like to advise that while the budget officially in South Sudan, the budget process is supposed to start, the budget conversation is supposed to start around November.
Hmm.
And if you look at what's happening around November, I think that period from November to March, spending agencies should take it for consultation with citizens.
Mm.
Why? Because when it comes to March, they will be required to develop their detailed budget.
Mm.
And that detailed budget should include citizens' aspirations and priorities. I also want to say that, and that can now inform the process of public hearing that Parliament is facilitating.
Hmm.
Number two is I would like to add my voice on the issue of the salaries. And as you have asked, I think we need to be a bit realistic. We need to ask ourselves, and I think we will not, it will not help us if we're looking at the percentage based on what we have at hand.
Hmm.
Because what we have, the salary scale that we have in the country is, I would say it's obsolete, because it cannot buy a bag of flour.
Yeah.
Somebody's salary cannot feed them for a week or even for a few days. So I think as a country, we need to do our own research and ask ourselves, when somebody comes to serve the public for 30 days, what do we expect them to take home at the end of that?
Yeah.
And that brings me to the question of the basic commodities. We expect them at least to take flour, oil, and maybe have beans on their table if they cannot afford meat. Yeah?
Yeah.
But if you look, and that's where we have a problem as civil society. We are asking, what is the rationale for giving that amount of money? And does it mean that South Sudan doesn't have money? Or there's a bit of consideration that has not happened and it needs to happen. We need to think of public servants first on equal footing. Then after that, we can add up the issues of having allowances, who gets more allowances, and who is able to have more facilities and enjoy some of these state privileges. I think that is very important. Coming to what
before you go to the other part of the question, Lona, it's about salary, and because this is where we shall have many questions from our listeners later on. What I understand that the civil society organization have made a submission, and David Ayuel has made presentation. Yeah. Unfortunately, we could not have him here. I think he has a technical issue. He could not connect. So what is your proposal? What have you proposed to the Parliament with regard to addressing issues of civil servant and security forces?
Yeah, I think that's where I was getting to.
Okay,
go ahead. Honorable raised the question of diversifying sources of revenue.
Mm.
And for those who understand the budget, and I think the two honorables in the studio know this very well, that when they talk about diversifying the sources of revenue, they're talking about the Financial Act.
Yeah.
And Financial Act is actually the act that is imposing taxation. So the same salary that we are now talking about, and we are saying cannot feed a family for a week, taxes has been imposed in order to generate more revenue for the country, while this salary is supposed to buy those commodities in the market, and the commodities are very expensive because the traders have been taxed highly. So our proposal, we've not proposed the basic salary. We leave that for the government to do. But what we have proposed as civil society is that drop taxes on some of these commodities and increase taxes for other services.
Commodities of basic commodities, you mean?
If you look at our submission, in South Sudan, salt is taxed, milk is taxed, milk powder and liquid milk, even formula milk is taxed, beans, maize flour that you're talking about is taxed, cooking oil is taxed. So the moment a tax is mentioned on a commodity, the traders are increasing prices as they wish. So we're advising that some of these commodities should not be taxed so that the traders doesn't have to increase prices and put the burden on the citizens that are having 10,000 as the price. Yes. And this includes several other things. And I think when we look at it that way, and that's part of the submission that IUL made, we'll be relieving the tax burden on ordinary citizens, and then now we'll start thinking of other services which we think are not taxed as such. Like, for example, if you look at the finance bill, there are services like those, the hotel inspection. If you look at the amount of hotel inspection, for example, or amount put on vehicle registration and
compare beer or
cigarette, if you look at those luxury goods, compare them to basic commodities, I think we can be able to strike balance and offload the burden from citizens. Yeah, so that's basically what we are doing. We are proposing to Parliament. In regard to peace implementation, I'm happy to hear from Honorable that what they have allocated is operational cost. So I mean that is only for salaries and electricity, utility and all that, but the actual amount for the real activities of peace, which is constitution making process, includes election process, is yet to happen. That is very important, and it's one thing that as citizens we will hold on to, because the moment these institutions are reconstituted, according to what Honorable has said, they're supposed to present their budget. So the question now we are asking is, when are these institutions being reconstituted so that they are able to present their budget? Is there a plan for that? Is there a time frame for that?
Yeah, it's a question that you are asking. Thank you very much. It's a question you are asking, Honorables in the studio. In addition to the to that question, Honorables in the studio, is a question of taxing, levying taxes on some luxury goods like hotels, accommodations, cigarette, beer, and so forth, and so vehicles and so forth, versus the commodities. How was this, Honorable Magog? How was this submission of the civil society received by the Parliament?
Thank you. Maybe I want to take you back to the argument of Madame on the other side, that the involvement of the citizens in budget preparation, I wish this round table should have included the Minister of Finance.
Our attempts to have them on board were not successful.
Oh, yeah. So the budget preparation emanated from the executive, and these are the basis, actually, if you have like bottom-up approach or up-bottom-up approach, then the citizens should have been involved, and that is actually the work of the of the executive who prepared the budget. The initial preparation of the budget should involve the citizens, and that question should go to the Minister of Finance. Coming to the taxation that is levied on milk, beans, and other food items. In fact, we have a problem, and our problem, we know what is the problem in South Sudan, because we are non-productive country. And all these items are imported from neighboring countries. And the dollar is a problem that is actually making the economic of the country become a bit difficult, because dollar is not a hard currency or a foreign currency. It become one of the commodities
in the market,
because availability of the dollar in the market reduce the price. And when the dollar is not available in the market, it seems like the price goes up. So this question actually, the madam from the other side have not have a look into the new financial bill that have been prepared for this budget. Maybe he's actually talking of the last year budget.
Okay. I think Madam will respond to it, and Honorable will also respond to the other question asked by Madam Lona. But now let's go for a break, and just for 2 minutes, and we shall come back and continue from where we are now. Especially we shall begin with Honorable Shankwath. Please, our listeners, stay tuned to the next session of this roundtable. Thank you very much. And the music.
Real African flower, for real, she's the queen of Hagiga. Sweet Junobia, oh, baby, focus on me. It's about to be a bumpy ride, oh, babe, focus on me. Don't even blink, cause I swear you will miss it. Half the day, let's sabah el mahedira, eh, hakura. But I want you to focus on me, cause I want you to know this dance. Atukuse, baby, moving slowly, give me no space, I am loving your ways. Even if it's late, baby, for you, I'll ride, let me help take it. I'll die in the normal.
Table. Yeah, very good morning again, once again, and I welcome you to the second session of our discussion. And we are asking a question as to what is in for citizen in the national budget of 2023-2024 year in South Sudan. And earlier on, we were discussing the role, I mean the financing of peace activities and civil society, I mean civil servants and security forces welfare. And a question was asked to Honorable Shankwath in the studio, before we went for a break, and I would want you to respond to this question, a question that was asked by Lona. Lona, are you online? If you are getting us, say hi to us once again. Honorable Shankwath, welcome to second session, and we will respond to the question that was asked by Lona.
Yeah, thank you once again, and welcome back. Actually, I think some of them were answered by my colleague already. The issue of when we did the public hearing, normal public hearing should be done even in the early stage, so that at least now the citizen should also contribute and give their ideas and identify their priorities, you know. Actually, budget preparation should start on time by November, as was said by Lorna before. But that work is not the work of the parliament, it's the work of the executive. They should be the one now to start the process, and then the parliament will be waiting for the time when the budget is brought to them. And I think those are some of the things that we are really pushing the executive, that these practices should be taken into consideration. And we just had a meeting a few days ago with the Minister of Finance that please, by this coming November, you should start the budget preparation. And we believe he gave us his word that they will do accordingly, because this is by law, the budget preparation should start on time. And I hope that they will respect their words and they will start the process, so that at least now everyone is involved in the budget preparation. But we did it in the parliament. We have called the citizen or the civil society, people with disabilities, you know, the business people, academia, and the rest. And we have engaged them, and we had a number of submissions, and we are happy that we're joined by most of our citizens, and they participated, and they give a number of submissions, including some of the submission that was just mentioned by Lorna on issue of, you know, to drop some charges, taxes, especially on the basic communities. I think the charges that we are doing, as we said before, you know, we are importing most of the thing, starting from the tomatoes. We have a fertile land, but we are not really using it. And I think it's because of this conflict that we might have been having. Okay, but I hope from now on things are really changing, and I think we are all understanding how we should move forward and have a proper peace. So most of the charges, they are totally almost zero. They are total almost zero. They are very low, especially on food commodities and also on the vegetable and the rest that are, you know, basic need for our citizens.
So are you talking about the previous budget or the current budget?
No, even the previous budget, it was reduced almost. And that's why you see when people come from Uganda, from Kenya, even they buy here because we are almost taxing nothing. Okay? They come and buy here, and even some of the people that are having families outside the South Sudan, they buy food from here and they send it with buses. And okay, I'm sure you can witness this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honorable, if I may ask you, as the chairperson of a specialized committee on budget, two of you in the studio, if I can ask you, what is critical in this budget? What as a member of parliament, not getting directly from the executive, as a member of parliament, what do you consider as a critical item that need to be achieved within this financial year in the budget?
Yeah, before I come to that, I just want to take you over the question. Okay, so almost we are taxing almost nothing, and we have received the submission. We are still discussing them and seeing, okay, what could be done on all those issues. Now we just finished the second reading, and now we are preparing for the third and final reading that will happen anytime from now. So that's one thing. So we have taken note of all the submissions that we have done, and most of them, I think, they are in line with what we are working on it now. When it comes to the salaries, yes, even in the last year budget, we said a salary from £0, from £1 to £2,000, the tax was zero by then. We're not taxing them because this was the least amount that the citizen was getting. Mm. So the tax was zero from there. And then from £2,001 to £5,000, the government was taxing 5%, which is almost, you can do the calculation. Mm. And it goes higher accordingly. So it will also change this time, because now if the salary will be increased, so we'll also see the minimum salaries will almost be charged zero. Okay, so that at least the citizen can enjoy that the small amount they have. Okay, and they will divide it here and there for time being until we find out other sources, so that now at least we can go to the second phase of trying to increase again. Okay, so the taxes on the salaries will almost be nothing. Okay, especially for the low grade civil servant who are getting that small amount comparatively to the current situation, the minimum living wage of the citizen. But otherwise, our priorities, okay, as a country, is that our citizen, which we represent, okay, should have a better life. And this is not only for the parliament, it's for the whole country, including the leadership. And that's why the country is pushing and telling people that the priority for this year is peace, to stabilize peace. So that at least now we live a normal life. People should go back to their villages or even do farming, because we have our fertile land. And now we are not farming because of this crisis. People are running here and there. Our priority is that now when we have peace, now we are changing. Instead of depending on other country importing food, okay, we should cultivate ourselves. The Ministry of Agriculture should do their best, mining and the rest. Okay, livestock. We have a lot of cows, more than the total of more than the population of the people, and we are still buying food from somewhere. We are still buying chicken from Brazil all the way to South Sudan. Okay, and we can all do all these things. So the government has a plan of diversifying the economy, and when you have peace, then everything is possible. So we are pushing that let's eat what we have in our country. Okay. And then whatever we don't have then now is what we can import. That's one thing. Secondly, also, not only this, we need to have also factories, okay, and all these things. So I think these are some of the plan that we are having as a parliament, that we need this thing to be implemented by the executive, so that at least our life of our people should really, their life matter for us. So this is what I just want to answer.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Honorable Magok, as a member of Council of States, and once again to remind our listeners, Council of State work closely with the states. There are revenues that are collected at the state level. And I would want to pick on one item here, and that is PIT, that is personal income tax. Personal income tax, you are on social media. If you have seen, there's a lot of talks about personal income tax as being collected by states, and states governors are the one responsible. State governments are the one responsible for this. And there's a fear on that it is not being used as it should be used, personal income tax. So what is your take on this?
I think you, before I go to your question, maybe let me also add on to what my colleague have said before. What are the priorities of the government? We have one he had mentioned, actually, the peace is a priority. Let people have peace. Number two is the payment of the army. And then when we pay the army and we unified forces, then these forces will actually disarm the citizen. That will also make peace at the grassroots level. And then now we come to a stabilization of our economy. Because it is not enough what we have right now, but we still have some other resources that have not been put in use, so that they boost our economy. That is actually a revenue-generating institutions like agriculture. We have the mining, we have tourism and fisheries and livestock. All these are actually, they have to be used. And then we go for cleansing of the payroll itself, because if even the citizens or the civil servant, army, and other organized forces, when they point fingers at the parliament, and they should also point fingers at themselves, because we need to have a clean payroll, and by having clean payroll, we'll get also money from that activity. Coming to the question you asked about the states, yes, correct. The states have the PIT, not only the PIT. There are so many taxes.
Yeah.
That are supposed to be collected at that level. And the collection, local collection from the states, should form the basis of their budget, because what we send from the central government, the two transfers that are being sent from here, the conditional grant and block grant, this block grant should actually be supplementary to the budget of the state. Because if they have local collection, the PIT, say, for example, the local resources that are being taxed, including the courts, the markets that they have, because it is not all the states that have enough resources, but our plan was that we have to go to the states, and I submit a plan that the team from the Council of States, including the National Legislative Assembly, the team from the National Legislature, should go down to the states to see by themselves what are the resources available at the state level. And from there, during the budget, we'll inform the state that, for example, Central Equatoria may be much better, and the oil-producing states are also much better. But some other states that have little collection, because even the transfers should not be equalized.
Yeah.
It should be made based on what the state have and what they don't have.
Mm.
So this is, in fact, is an important point, and we are now working towards that, so that if we want to get more money, we have to look into a lot of corners where we can be able to get money.
As a member of Council of State, what oversight role that do you have on the state budgets and with regard to PIT? This PIT is a big thing. If you have been observing South Sudanese on social media here and there are unhappy with how PIT is being used. So what is your oversight? what roles are you playing to oversee how states implement, collects, and implement what they have collected to the benefit of the citizen?
Yeah, in fact, states are a level, because we have like three levels of government.
Yeah.
We have the national level, the state level, and local government. At the states, we oversee the state through their legislative assemblies, because, first of all, we urge the legislative assemblies to do the budget of their own. And that's why I said we are preparing to go to the states. First, we have to see into it that states prepare their budget. And from there, then we have to look into the resources that are available for them to be able to make their own budget, so that from the central government, that budget has to be topped up.
Okay, thank you very much. Lona, having listened to how the Council of States is working very hard to oversee the implementation of budgets and respect to public resources, what do you do as civil society organizations in order to protect public goods and delivery of services through public finances, Lona?
Well, thank you very much for that, and I have keenly listened to the two honorable members, and thanks for their contribution. In regard to our role in enhancing efficiency and effectiveness of budget execution, I think one of the things that we have been demanding as civil society, and we've been asking executive and legislature when we meet members from those two organs or two arms of government, is that why do you disburse the next quarter funds without having reports for the previous quarters? So in other words, for us, we are pushing that Parliament should demand for reports, and that report should be tabled, and the Minister of Finance should know that it's the responsibility of Ministry of Finance to table those reports. Until we get that done, it will be difficult for us to have an effective role in providing oversight or amplifying people's voices in regard to budget implementation. But I want to take us back to the question of the taxes and diversifying revenue for the country. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Bichok, for acknowledging that the submissions have been received and the Parliament is looking at the submissions. The argument behind those submissions is that, and I also want to acknowledge what you have said, that some of these taxes are minimal. Like, for example, the basic commodities, which are reflected in the first row and column of our submission, it's minimal. But the mere indication that these commodities are taxed triggers appetite from the traders to exploit the public. That's what we are saying. We're saying that that minimal tax, just drop it so that there's clear argument and there's clear basis for saying these commodities are in Uganda, they are this much, and why is it so expensive in South Sudan? So we can be able now to calculate how much transport has gone into that and why should the prices shoot up immediately when the dollar goes, and sometimes it's disproportionate to the increment in dollar. And for us, we think that would help remove the appetite from these commodities. And to in regard to whether we have seen the finance bill or not, we have actually seen the finance bill. That's why we got the confidence to make these submissions. And the pages that we have quoted in our submission are pages for the current finance bill that was tabled in Parliament. And yet the other thing that we would like, I think I need to bring our attention to, and of course you can clearly see my obsession with finance bill, because finance bill is what impacts the citizens directly, and right, that is where revenue is generated. If you look at page 62 of the finance bill, where we are talking about fees for registration fees for international and national companies, that is under mining, there are figures there like exploration license $500, really? And these companies, some of them are big companies. I think what we are trying to do as civil society is that let's shift our focus and see where the burden goes and put it in the rightful place. In terms of oversight role, I think it's important for us to get the budget documents way in advance, and also once the budget is passed, it becomes a public property and citizens should have access to it so that they're able to see what has been allocated for particular service at grassroots level or at state level, so that we are able to hold those institutions accountable. Let's not keep those documents away from the public. And I want to applaud the Parliamentary Committee for Finance and Economic Planning, not because Honorable Bishok is here, but that has been a committee that when you approach them for the budget documents, you will get the documents if they have the copies. So what am I saying? Together with Parliament, we are asking Ministry of Finance to produce enough copies of the budget, and the final budget that will be approved, we hope that copies will be enough for the public to be able to have a look at it, scrutinize, and also follow the implementation of the budget.
Lona, as a member of civil society organizations that are based in Juba, the capital, how connected and engaged are the civil society organizations in the state with their respective state legislatures and executive with regard to budget preparation and budget implementation?
Lona? Thank you very much.
Yes.
For that question. The connection to state level, how civil society operates, we are basically voluntary entities, and it's based on sense of agency and where it finds you. So what we do is we build network with our colleagues at state level, but the two honorables in the studio and the public who are listening to this discussion will agree with me that budget conversation is not a vibrant conversation at state level. In fact, sometimes we even don't get to know whether the process has been triggered at state level. And our colleagues at state level, some of them make efforts to engage with the legislature at state level, but then that process is not very clear. I think as a country and we all different sectors, we need to up our game on clarity around budget process, because budget process seems to be like a backdoor process in most cases, and many people don't have access to it.
Do you bring these things to the attention of the Council of States and the Parliament, the Legislative Assembly?
Yeah, the beauty with how South Sudan is right now is that we still have a lot of interface, which I hope that it continues. And when we are having conversations with the members of the legislature, we actually do bring that up. And I will say this on behalf of SUDEMOP. We do organize conversations around budget processes and around taxation, and we speak to many of these parliamentarians who come for the conversations, and we do remind them that the budget process, we need to tighten the bolts and be able to make it more participatory and make it more people oriented.
Thank you very much.
It's a very slow process.
Yeah.
Also, listening to what honorable members have been saying, I think my general advice to the nation, not only to the members in the studio and civil society, but to the nation, is that we need to look at where the data from Bureau of Statistics and what happens, what the status of our directorates for planning and research is, so that it informs the overall picture. Because sometimes when you look at budget priorities, to be honest, other people may not say it, but Lorna will say it on behalf of others, is that we ask ourselves, wait a minute, whose budget is this? Is this really our priority as citizens? Because sometimes you realize that our priorities are not reflected in the budget. Like today, if you ask South Sudanese, yes, peace implementation is very important, but peace is also health services. Peace is also education. Peace is not only putting money in security. So we are asking ourselves, where are we in this? And I'm glad to hear that at least constitution-making process and election will come in supplementary budget. Is there room for us to look at health services and education and bring supplementary budget for that? And there is an institution that is left out to some extent. If you look at Ministry of Gender, what's the status of these institutions? Because some of them are actually the enablers of peace. And until we pay attention to them, then the peace we are talking about is just hard peace, not soft peace.
It's unattainable. Thank you very much, Lorna. Our listeners, you will be able to call us on 091206-2950 or 091206-2079. Now, before I receive calls, let me give Honorable Bishok two questions to respond to that are generated from the discussion of Lorna and Honorable Magog. Honorable Bishok, can you tell us by ranking at least the first three institutions that have been that are leading in the budget? One, two. There is a question of natural resources, oil aside. We are talking about gold and other minerals that are being mined. How are they? There is an understanding amongst general population that these things are not factored in the budget, and yet people are busy mining. So can you inform the public whether they are factored in the budget or not factored in the budget? In other words, are we getting revenues from this? From then there is a question that was raised by Lorna. A question of registration for international companies that come to South Sudan to come and explore. Imagine $500 for a company that is coming to explore oil in South Sudan. How much is that compared to what is being charged? Just in 3 minutes, if you can, Honorable Bishop.
Yeah, thank you once again. To go back even to the issue of the estate that was answered before, I think we need to do a lot in the estates. The estate, I think there are only two or three estates that does their budget. The rest, they are not doing their budget for the last few years.
So Two or three?
I think around three that did their budget, especially for the last budget year. Okay? And we are pushing that all the estates should do their budget. They should know what they are collecting, the PIT and the rest. And then now it's factored in, so that now it becomes transparent.
Yeah,
so
that justifies the reasons that South Sudanese are unhappy with the way PIT, specifically PIT that comes in dollar form are being used in the state.
Yeah, that's why for us is a priority. That's why you have heard before that there's a team that's supposed to go to the state from Council of State together with the National Assembly so that we look into all these issues. That the country, the state should know what they're collecting, okay, all the resources of the state, and then how they should be used. So it's one of the priorities that we are having. And soon, when we get facilitation, then the team will go to the state and address this issue.
Is it a question of ignorance, really, Honorable? Because the members of parliament in the state are supposed to be responsible. There are ministers of finance. There are specialized chairperson of finances in the state assemblies and administrative areas. They are not budgeting. They are operating from so really why does the why do you need to move from national level as members of the state to go and inform the members of parliament in the state of what they are supposed to be doing? Is it not a question of accountability?
Well, actually, I cannot talk about it now because it's still we need to send our team to go to the ground and find out exactly what is happening. Okay, so we don't know deeply in detail what is happening, but at least that's why we need to send a team from here. The Council of State need to go so that they understand what exactly is happening, why some of the states are not doing their budgets. Okay, so this is something that we'll find out when the team goes. But as we are here in Juba, we cannot really give you a definite answer on that regard.
We shall make a follow-up.
Yeah, to come to those issues that was just mentioned and the question that you have asked, yes, now we are having issues, especially issue of health. An issue of education. Now, if you see, some of the NGOs, they are pulling out now from the state, from counties, where there will be a gap, okay? And the government is seeing this one and taking into consideration what need to be done. That's why you see there was this CDF. For the last many years, since 2013, 2014, there was no CDF. But this year now, CDF is added because there are people who are not benefiting from this. For example, the salaries, you have people in the ground that are not civil servants. They're just living in the village, but they need services. They need school, they need education, they need health and all this. So that's why CDF is brought back, so that now it will address some of these issues on the ground. Okay, to answer to that question. The other question is the institution that are leading in the budget. Okay, for now, I cannot tell you exactly which institution are leading, because now we are realigning. Okay.
From the table one.
Yeah, from the table one. We are now realigning. And that's why when we talk about the increment of the salaries, you know, we are still taking from those ones that you think that might be leading. So we are realigning all their money, you know, so that at least now we'll have the final which institution is having high and which one is having low. So we are still working on those figures so that at least we will know later that who are running and who are having enough resources. But now the issue of our goals and minerals, I think this one is very important. And that's why the Minister of Mining has been really pushing very hard that at least they need to do a geological survey. We all know that, okay, we have gold, we have other mineral and all this. But if I ask you, you cannot tell me exactly in this particular location you have this. We will say that in Torit there is a gold. Okay? But exactly in which area in Torit, you see? So now the government has prioritized, given enough resources to those ministries so that they go and do their geological survey, including that we have aircraft. On the ground, two of them actually, and you have heard some few months ago that they were going in a low, and they were even telling people that, you know, our plane will fly low, so that now they locate where our minerals are. So that now the government will go and try to do boost our economy. But it happened that when the plane was going around Jongli Estate, some men in they start shooting that is disturbing cows and all this whatever. So I'm also telling our citizens that if you see a plane going low. They try to discover where those resources are.
Maybe you need to tell the color of the plane.
I heard it on the radio the other time that they were talking on this issue. So that we educate our people that, you know, this one, if it comes, they will announce it, that it will go around this area, and please, when it comes there, you leave them. Because we need to know where the resources are, okay? And then later on, then now the government will come in to make sure that at least they do their... We extract these goals. And that's why even in the last year budget, we say that we are working on the goal because we have other minerals.
But it's not Honorable, is saying this, are you implying that there is no mining of gold that is ongoing in the country?
No, I'm not saying no. Yes, I know there are companies. There are companies that are doing mining. These are individual private companies, and the government need to come in.
And so individual private company, they mine for themselves.
You hope they mine for themselves.
Really, where with the government? Where is the government?
Well, that's why the government is coming in. And that's why...
It has been going on for years, Honorable.
Yeah, it's okay.
You are the Member of Parliament.
Yes.
Why is it a question that our listener would has is, why has it been going on for all these individual mining for themselves, individual companies mining for themselves? This is a natural resource. Oil is being mined on the other side, and it is what is feeding the country. On the other side, minerals are being exploited, and they are not benefiting the country.
Yeah, well, actually, and that's why I'm coming to this point. So on the past, I don't know what is happening exactly, but we all hear that there is mining taking place, and those are individual. What I'm saying is that the government is not doing the mining. The government is now trying to do the mining by having those plans. We'll mark the areas where there are all those minerals, and then now it will come in to do the work of the government.
Okay.
So if there's any mining taking place, it's not the government taking.
So it is not factored in the budget.
Yeah, it's not. But now the department is equipped. Now it is allocated enough resources, so that they do their geological survey. Find out where the things are, and then now they will come up with the companies that will work with the government to make sure that at least these things are extracted, and then now being brought to the table of the resource envelope.
So that's mean next year, not in this financial year.
No, in this financial year.
Okay.
In
thank you very much. Let's give our listeners the opportunity to interact with us. Hello, Radem Raya. Hello?
Yeah, you are speaking to Diu from Madina Shimil of Shimal Barakazar.
Diu from where?
From Shimil of Barakazar, of Northern Barakazar.
Oh, Madina Shimil, okay. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Diu.
Yeah, I appreciate the guys in the studio. They have narrated a lot of issues, and also I want to give thanks to Radim Raya for updating the community all over the country.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, I have two things. I have a question, and before the question, I would like to suggest to add on what has been stated out. Yeah, you have seen reading and presenting of national budget. Is like a proposal writing.
Right.
I mean, proposal writing, you write the proposal and then you present it to those who are concerned, and then later you evaluate and monitor. So I don't think, is whereby my question comes back, I don't think if the monitoring will be in place in order to monitor the budget presented all over the nation. In order to avoid the corruption and other things like in some ministers you may find a lot of ghost name and whatsoever. All these factors contributed to the corruption a lot, and many of the citizens will not benefit if not scandalous. Are we serious in order to make the good monitoring and evaluation based on our budget that we have proposed this year? Because I heard that before the budget of the surges has been presented as a total of increasing up to 10%, which is equivalent to 60,000. Could it be easy to be monitored till they reach the level where they are expected?
Thank you very much, Diu from Chimbel. Honorable Shankwat, Diu is giving a very good analogy of a proposal writing. When you write a proposal, you submit it to be financed. When it is financed, then the financier has the responsibility of monitoring. And the financier, who is the financier here? Financier is the citizen of the country. The government is proposing that this is the money we need, and this is how we want to use it. So that it is financed from the natural resource envelope. You as a representative of the council of the people, you are at the center of this one. So a question is asking, are we this time serious to monitor the budget implementation? Let's receive some more call. Hello, Radim Raya.
Hello, Yajira.
Yeah, your name and your question.
You are connected with Jimmy Dwar.
Jimmy Dwar Murabek.
Yeah, thank you. I have three questions to the guests in the studio, especially the MPs who are in the studio.
Yeah.
One of the questions is that the budget preparation seem to have diverted to different angle. Why? Would the settlement said by the Minister of Information, Michael Mokwe, saying, let Parliament exaggerate that budget. That budget is proposed like that, and it must be implemented as it is. But there are so many issues emerge, like priorities of health, priorities of education, and more other things. And the budget is proposed, according to them, to be in that shift, according to the minister. As per now, are you subordinate to the executive, or you are a parliamentarian who should represent the real issues that should be tangible in the nearest future as that budget ended the period? This is one. Two, are you stick to what had been said by the people that you are appointed and you must do what appointees are saying? Is it what you are meant for, or you have a real that agenda that to reflect the will of the people on the places that you are representing? The third question is, we are talking of budget, or we are talking of election, and preparation of election should need a current budget to be budgeting, so that the preparation of electoral commissions should take place, and the preparation of the offices across the country. And the minister says this is not included here because election is coming next year. Are we going to prepare this thing next year? Because the budget will be tabled the same year next year, and we are almost to election. Should that budget really meet the need of that election to be ready? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dwar has raised a question that I hinted on before, a question of executive saying that there's no money for what the parliament is proposing. I think this will go to the members of parliament. Let us see more. Hello, Redem Raya.
Hello.
Yes.
Mark Franco Sivit.
Franco Sivit, go ahead.
أعلى من البرلمان القومي. إذا مثلا البرلمان القومي بيعمل إصلاحات ليه بيكون فيه احتراف؟ لأنه كل عندكم مرايات في نفس البارتي وإنت في نفس البارتي هو اللي يسلم أي جي. طب شنو مثلا بيكون فيه احتراف ويكون فيه مشاكسات سياسية بين البرلمان القومي بين الولايات والبرلمان القومي. السؤال الثاني موضوع بتاع العرب عشان كل ذات الشخصيين هو عمل الميزانية. الميزانية المفروض يكون فيه في ادخال اللي هو شابتر 3 اللي هو الديفلوبمنت. المفروض الدوله لازم تستفيد من يكون مثلا زي البترول بتاعه البترول بتاع يونايتد ستيت. المفروض يكون في الربان يساهم فوقه, لكن مشكله الرفاينر بتاع يونايتد ستيت عاملين ذات. المفروض البرلمان المفروض يكون يدعم الرفاينر عشان يكون الدخل ده يرجع للدوله, لكن اتاني ما في كلام زي ما ظاهر اي حاجه ان حاجه مشروع جديد عشان تجيب دخل للدوله ما ظاهر في البادجت بتاعهم. السؤال الثاني بالنسبه للعضو البرلمان القومي يقول لك اوقف فبنسال الاساس انه مثلا علاقه مجلس الولايات مع البرلمان القومي شنو اذا كان في احتراضات في حاجات زي دي.
اوكي جزيلا. اوكي ثانك يو فيري ماتش فرانكو سيفيت. الو رادم رايا.
الو
يس جوزيف ياي. الو
يا Yes.
Morning. Nice. This is Jack from Kwajo.
Who?
Mayan Jack from Kwajo.
Mayan Jack. Okay. Mayan, go ahead briefly, please, in 1 minute, if you can.
Yeah. So, my question could be particularly on the mining of the natural resource. You know, this had happened in Niraja. Even we had it in the news. So even the interaction that the commissioner of that particular place has been suspended. So why not for the government to come in? Because there are illegal companies that are mining our resources, they're feeding the citizens. So why not for the government to intervene as quick as possible so that they can be tabled?
Thank you very much, Mena Jack in Kwajok. Hello, Radim Raya?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, your name and your question.
Manu George Manuao.
Manu George, yeah, Mrabeku, tamam.
الحق اللي جينا حاجة وريا بتاعنا كل جين يال بتاعنا تعبانين وده اتساد وياه اسمه أمور بتاع القروش وبجد وشنو ياه إنه بلدنا نبقى موارد كتير بطرور okay. بيجاي ودعب بيجاي وكل يعني بيجاي من طلعنا البلد يعني أمورنا ما تمام بس okay. شوف شوارع مكشفة زاد وما أمور كويس
المسكينة
okay. مثل يال قدوة وقروش بسيط وعجات بقى قالي في دولار okay. المواطن على البلغة راح كيف
Shukran Carlos, Manu George. Okay, let me give an opportunity now for you to respond because we are running out of time. And let me begin with Lona. Lona, anything that you, I know is, most of the questions were directed to members of parliament in the studio, but if anything that you would want to help them in 1 minute, please, Lona, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I think what I'm hearing from the public is the question is still back to the question of priority, but the question of accountability is also coming in. So I think we need to strengthen our accountability measures and be able to ensure that public resources are used for the benefit of the people. And the last speaker has raised a very important issue, the question of the economic situation in the country. How does the budget address that is still a very big question. And as we are getting to elections and constitution-making process, that is going to bring so much complexity. But I will allow the honorable members to answer the questions that are asked directly to them. Maybe okay. later I can give my five.
Sure.
Thank you.
I want to give you, each of you, strictly 2 minutes to respond to this question. Honorable Chankwath first.
Yeah, thank you once again. I think 2 minutes will not be enough because we have more than four
okay,
people.
3 minutes. 3 minutes. No, yeah. two minutes each is
yeah.
enough.
So actually, I thank the question from Diu from Northern Bargazel asking about the role of the parliament. Actually, yes, we are doing our work as another arm of the government where we do oversight work on our side. And that's why... when the budget is prepared by the executive, then it's now presented to the parliament. So then now they put into the law. Mm. And in the law, there are a number of items that are part of the law that is being implemented. Now, for the accountability purposes, normally each spending agency should report back what they spend before they are given another resources for the other quarter. And this one is something that we are now implementing it because in the law, we have a so-called Appropriation Act. Mm. This appropriation is how this money should be spent. And what are the conditions on that particular book? And it has to be assented by the president when the budget is passed.
Mm.
That act has to be assented by the president, and this is the law that governs the spending of those money. And in that money, in that book, at least reporting should be done. And the parliament is concerned this time, because for the last how many years, the quarter report even has not been presented. What the governor has spent for the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. But it has started, especially in the last year budget, the minister has to present the quarter report. So which means that now we are heading, you know, to a new chapter. And this one will continue to do our oversight role on making sure that at least the resources that are allocated has to be spent accordingly. So this is the answer I just want to give to Diu from Chanel. The question of James Dwar, yes, we are a parliament and... we have our own role as another government, and then also the executive, they have their own role as the other the government. And as he mentioned that what Honorable Makwe says, he said what he think that is his position. But also us in the parliament, we also have our position. We are appointed, yes. Some of us were elected, some of us were appointed. But it doesn't make any difference. You are appointed or elected. It's not that you leave the role that you are given to. We all take the oath of the offices or of the parliament that will abide by the law and all this of the country. And we are doing it exactly. So we are not afraid of of going our own activities. So we are doing our role as it was in the constitution, and we have taken note of that, and we are doing it exactly. That's why you have seen now we have been even calling ministers, you know, questioning them, so that we understand, so that we are on the same page, that this arm of government of the parliament should also do their task. Okay, so we are not subordinate. We are working together as a government, but we are doing our duties since we take the hold of that of those departments. The issue of the election, the question number three, I think soon, any time from now, I think the president is waiting for the nomination from the parties, especially for those institutions, the public, the political parties commission, political parties council, the election commission, and then the national constitution
review commission.
They are also waiting for the list. There were some 17 institutions that were all allocated to the parties. Okay, and the parties now asked to submit their list so that they are being appointed, so that they start their work.
How long have we been waiting for this list, honorable?
Well, I think the high level committee have already done this, and they are waiting the parties to submit the list so that they are appointed. So anytime from now, this appointment may happen. Yes. To come to Sebit, to come to Franco Sebit, yes, we have this issue of NALPET. Okay. NALPET is a different is a commercial arm of the government, and they are having 8% from the oil share, believing that this commercial government wing will take over the oil field, especially from the Chinese, and by now, especially in Greater Upper Nile, especially in Upper Nile, in Paluch, NALPET should take over in 2027. All the work that is taking place now by the Chinese and those other companies, they're supposed to take it over. And we are seeing that, they need to have more capacity. They need to team up and work together with the Ministry of Petroleum, because this is where they belong. Okay, but now they are given a different mandate, or they are put somewhere else. So that's why we have those debates. So the contradiction that happened, we are all in called national legislature. So when we sit together, we are all one parliament of the two houses. Okay, and everyone can come up with what they think is right. So we have proposed something, and then everybody, you know, this when you present the budget is presented to the members of the parliament, and they will debate on it. Everyone will come with his view. Okay, at the end of the day, we'll see which one is the right thing that needs to be done for the country. So Honorable Mary Ayan was presenting what they think that to be done. Okay, that the NALPET should remain where it is. Okay, where we are seeing it the other way, if it's taken to the other side, it will work better, and their capacity will be increased. So it still is something that we are working on it, and it will also be tabled on the third reading.
Thank you.
The issue of the refinery in Unity State, yes, we know there's a refinery there that is really working, okay, but we have issue of roads.
Is it really working?
Yeah.
Operating, producing. So what it is producing, whatever amount it is, where does it go?
Yeah, so, and this is another topic now,
Can you discuss it in 30 seconds?
I have some other questions that I have to answer.
But this is a very important question.
Yeah, and on this regard, we are working on it so that at least the road should be made, so that whatever it produces, it's brought to the nearest areas so that we don't only depend on the oil that is coming from Kenya or Uganda.
Okay.
To come to question of Mayan, we have Mayan from Kwajok, of the illegal companies that are operating. Okay, yes, the Minister of Mining is issuing, you know, by law, you should issue, you know, there is this artisanal mining of this local citizen that can just go and do their mining locally and all this, and there are companies also that are also getting licenses, okay? But those are totally illegal mining, but they are legalized, because when you give them a document, then they are going to do their work, okay? But normally the government should come in, and that's why the government...
Who give the certificate?
Is the government.
Then it is illegal.
Yeah, they are legal.
Why are they not contributing to the revenue?
Well, we don't know in one or the other way around, because it depends on what the NRA brought. They might be contributing, but we are not we are not discussing it in general. But normally, they are given license by the government that they operate in those areas. But now the government has to come in and does its job directly. So, and that's why the government has bought that two plan, and they are doing this aerial drone. Regarding the last question of Manut George from Wau, yes, we represent the people, and we know the suffering of our people. And that's why the parliament is doubling its effort to make sure that at least things are done in a way that at least it benefit our people. Yeah, so we are aware of this, and the parliament is really working to make sure that at least things are done, because these are our citizens, these are the people who brought us, and these are people that we are working for. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magok.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe some of these questions actually have been answered by
yeah.
my colleague. But one thing which I would want to add is that the issue of accountability has come from Lona, from the those who ask questions.
Callers, yeah.
yeah. The callers. One thing is actually, if you come to what I said earlier, that In the budget itself, the statement of the ministry that the stabilization of economy, and this cannot come without putting top measures on the ground, both from the executive and then from the legislature. One of them is public financial management reform, and this is very important, and it has to be looked into seriously so that it is implemented. The other things is the budget discipline in all spending agencies, and by doing that is that the Minister of Finance should present a quarterly budget, a quarterly report to the legislature, so that the legislature is aware of who are those actually did not adhere to the financial laws in regards to the use of the budget that is given to them. So these are some of the measures that should be put in place.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magok. If I may ask you to say your last word, what would you tell to South Sudanese?
My last word to South Sudanese is actually, as I mentioned earlier, we have these important three issues, and that's why we said this budget should address fees. It should also cater for wages and salaries, increment of salaries for civil servant, army, and organized forces. These two. And then stabilization of the economy, that include the discipline. So these three, at least what the parliament is working towards, achieving these three items.
Okay.
So citizens should be relaxed and let them actually monitor the parliament and the executive on these three items that I mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lona, your last word to our listeners.
Thank you very much. I think from this conversation, we can clearly see that other than other processes, even the budget process is clearly showing us that the center is detached from periphery. We need to strengthen that relationship. And I'm glad that Council of States is taking it up. And I would like to link it to the issue of public finance management reform process. Thank you for raising it, Honorable Magok, as well. I think South Sudan, the process is ongoing. Right now, there's a whole architecture that has been established for public finance management reform process. I'm speaking this because I sit at the Oversight Committee. I think South Sudan requires a rigorous reform process in public finance management, and Parliament has a very important role to play in that. The doctors' union have raised a very important thing in their submission. They're saying that the health workers' salaries have to be aligned to regional and international best practice. I think that is something that we can apply even in our mining industry. How is it done in other countries? That is very important. But
okay.
I want to finally say something about PIT. Hmm. I think Revenue Authority needs to start tax education, because taxpayers can only pay tax if they know what the tax is going to do for them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Bishop, just in one minute, strictly.
Yeah, thank you once again, Radio Murai, for hosting me. At least my message to our people is that the reform are not really easy. Okay, it takes time, and the parliament and the executive and all the arm of government are really working to make sure that at least things are done accordingly. We are now having a number of bills in front of us, including the bill of public financial management and accountability. It's tabled in the parliament. It's being now worked on. So soon then we'll have all the best practices and the rest, and we'll also call for a public hearing for our citizens to come and also add their views on this. The salary increment that has happened now is not much. Okay, but we want our citizens to hold on this for time being and make sure that, especially for our citizens, to make sure that our soldiers and organized forces maintain the security of our country so that at least our people can go and do farming and do other things. These are some of the things that I just want to add. Otherwise, we are happy for hosting us here, and we are always ready to come, and the citizens are also ready to come and see us in the parliament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magok and Bishok Lona Merkeji, for always responding to our calls and your responsibility as members of parliament and civil society organization. Our listeners, we are very much sorry that we began 30 minutes late. Maybe you didn't have enough time to interact with the hosts in the studio. Otherwise, you have been listening to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yaj Kerang, and we are discussing the citizen interest in 2023-2024 national budget. We had in the studio Honorable Chankwat Bishok, Chairperson of the Specialized Committee, and Honorable James Magok, Chairperson of the Specialized Committee for Finance in the Council of State, and Lona Mukherjee from Sudamok online from Nairobi. Otherwise, stay tuned. Next program, you have been with me, Yaj Garang. Thank you very much.